Lord, we do praise you in this place. We thank you that at the name of Jesus, that all hell trembles. Lord, so we speak that name. And we thank you, Jesus, for who you are, how you blessed our lives, how you've changed our hearts, how you made us whole in you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Jesus, for providing for us. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. We've been looking at Galatians chapter 6, reading verse 7 through 9 there, and help us understand the laws of the harvest. A few years ago, a man wrote a little book that I've been using, Mr. Lawrence, and he wrote a book called The Seven Laws of the Harvest. It helps us understand out of this verse. So let's read this together, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let's not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Understand this. Do not be deceived. That means lied to, tricked, cheated, that God pays for what we do. Not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. We have a lot of people in our world today that are mocking God. They're mocking God by their attitudes, their actions, even their very words. And in that, God is not going to be mocked. As we look at these laws, it helps us understand some things. The first one is this, that the first law is that we reap much that we did not sow. We didn't have to do everything to reap the benefits that God gave to us, and we didn't have to do anything to sometime reap the destruction that comes upon us. It happens to us. So the first law of the harvest is that we reap much that we did not sow. You are privileged, and I am privileged, to live in a country where we had people that came here to have religious freedom and to come from England to say, we don't want the church telling us what to do and where we need to be. We want freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. Understand that. Freedom of religion. We reap the benefits of that. We are here this morning because of that. We didn't do anything to get that. It's there for us. Did that. But also, we are reaping some things within our country right now, not the positive. We're reaping some negatives, too. These are things that we did not do, but because of laws and because of rules and because of things that are being passed and things that are happening, and the benefits from those things are coming to us in a negative way. We have legalized pornography in this nation. And because we legalized pornography, we have some extreme perversion going on in our nation, extreme perversion that is going on in families, extreme perversion going on with our children, and the hearts of our children are being stolen away, and we're reaping that. So sometimes we reap things that we did not do, but we are getting those benefits, and we're also getting those negatives in our life. The second thing, we reap the same kind as we sow. If we plant a certain crop, that's what we're going to get. We can't plant negative thoughts, negative attitudes, negative things in our mind and expect us to have something positive come out. We can't plant negative things in our children and expect good to come from our children. But we also know this, we reap the same kind as we sow. That means if we reap good things into our children, if we reap positive things into our children, if we do good things, we're going to see some good things come. Let me tell you something, folks. Something's happening right now in our nation with our young people. It's happening in our church on a small scale, but it's happening. We've had baptisms of young people last week. We're going to have baptisms of young people again next week. God is moving in some ways. Our young people are going to Glorieta in a few weeks. If any of you have ever been to Glorieta, the large chapel there has been closed for several years. They did not need it because they didn't have enough kids to fill it up. This week it was full with teenagers. It's full with kids learning about Christ. It's full in doing that. Some of you watched the movie Jesus Revolution and about Pirates Cove in California and what happened back in the 70s as they baptized thousands of people in the Jesus Revolution that were coming to Christ. This week, This week, they were lined up a half a mile long at Pirates Cove getting baptized. God is working. God is moving. And God is moving in the hearts and lives of our young people and families and doing things. There's hope. There's hope. And God is, we got a lot of young people that are saying, enough of this stuff. We want a different world. We don't want the world that is being given to us. We want a world that is serving God and honoring God and following after God. So we reap the same kind we sow. The third thing, we reap a different season than we sow. Folks, we had people years ago that decided to plant this church. We reap the benefits of that. Most of you were not here when this church was started. I think we only have like two or three people left that are still alive than when this church started, that were a part of the charter memberships of this church. We get to reap that. We praise God for that. In a different season, we're reaping that now from what happened years ago. You reap the benefits of what happened sometime years ago in someone's life in doing that. We reap, number four, more than we sow. I've got something here with me. I plan on preaching a long time, so I brought a snack. This apple will demonstrate these laws that we're trying to explain. We're going to try to explain these laws with this apple this morning. I did not plant the tree that this apple came from. Therefore, I have reaped what I did not sow. I don't know who planted the tree, Johnny Appleseed, or whoever that was, that guy that went around doing those things. But somebody planted a tree somewhere. It grew up. It made an apple. And that apple, I get the benefit of having that apple. That's the first law. I get the benefit of something I did not sow. Praise God for that. The second thing is this. The apple came from an apple tree, giving proof that we reap the same kind as we sow. I cannot pick apples from a pear tree. I can't pick apples from a cherry tree. I can't pick apples from a peach tree. I pick them from an apple tree. And so we reap the same kind as we sow. The third law says this. The apple came from a tree that was planted perhaps years ago. So we reap in a different season than we sow. It's not immediately. I told you last week that I love squash casserole, and so that morning I got up and planted some squash seeds so when I got home at noon I could have some squash casserole. Doesn't work that way, does it? We don't get it immediately. Sometime it's later on. There was a famous message that was preached years ago by a pastor called Payday Someday. Payday Someday says this, one of these days we're going to pay. We're going to pay for the good or we're going to pay for the bad. I get to reap the benefits of an apple that somebody planted years ago in doing that. Also, the fourth thing, we reap more than we sow. If I were to plant one apple seed and expect to get one apple, what's the use, right? But I plant an apple seed, it grows into an apple tree, and year after year after year, it brings forth more fruit, more apples. The old saying goes like this, we can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. God says, I can take it, I can multiply it, I can do something. So let's look at that fourth law. I'll eat that in a minute. We'll look at that fourth law that we reap more than we sow. The first thing we understand is this law is not only in the agricultural world, but it also, almost every aspect of our life, physical, emotional, and spiritual in our life, that we are going to reap more than we sow. It's something, the measure of more. It's the measure of more. Too often we live under the delusion, bigger is better, and the more we have, the better off we will be. It's been said, man is a measure of all things. However, someone has updated the thought with this, the man who has more is a measure of all things. Now, we look at that in our world today. We're always striving to have more. Can I have more? Can I have a better house, a better job, more, a bigger car, better clothes, better things, better activities? And so we measure sometimes our life by more. We tend to believe And we live by that concept, especially in America. The first thing is this, the more money you have, the better off you are. Some of the most miserable people I know have a lot of money. Some of the most miserable people I know. John Rockefeller was asked years ago, they asked and they said, how much money is enough? And multi-millionaire, in our day and time, would be a billionaire. And here's what he said, just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Wouldn't that be a terrible way to live? They're never satisfied with what you have, but looking for just a little bit more. We tend to live that way. The more power you have, the better chance you have of getting what you want. And so we live by that concept. Man, the most powerful people get what they want. And so we live our lives in such a way that we want to put others down and we want to be the powerful person. We want to have the strength and we want to be in that way. And so it's the measure of more. The third thing, the more prestige you have, the better chance you have of going somewhere. Better chance you have if you have more prestige. Well, who are you? And we measure ourselves by who we are. We don't measure ourselves by God. I'm a child of God, that God has created me and it's okay. We measure ourselves, well, I'm this. How many letters can you have after your name? Or how many titles can you hold? How many things are important that you've done in your life? And we ask people and say, well, who are you? And say, well, and they start telling, well, I work at the job and I do this, I'm the boss, I'm this, I'm this, and this, and this. And so it's about power and it's about strength. And we live in that way. And God says it's not about more. It's not about more. However, we forget the law does take into account what's better for us. It's left up to us how we sow and what we do. So there's a positive reaping of more and a negative. The positive reaping on this side. Apple Orchard planted some trees 40 years ago. The guy continues to reap today. 40 years ago, someone plants a tree and we still get to reap that today. What are you planting today that you will be able to reap years from now? The scripture tells us several things. It tells us that we ought to sow so that we can reap the benefits in the future. That we give and it will be given to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. And that's what God wants. It's the measure of more. God says this, I'm not talking about your money. You know what? God owns all the money anyway. If he wanted your money, he could take it away from you right now. God does want us to give out of our hearts. But what about your life? What are you giving your life to in order that years from now, your kids, your grandkids, the next generation of young people will be able to be blessed and will be able to know and follow after a nation in which people love God and follow God? It scares me sometimes, folks. No, it doesn't. It scares me all the time to think of what we're giving to our kids and grandkids. What they're going to live in. Most of you in this room got to grow up in the greatest time in American history, where you could get a job, own a home, buy a car, move where you wanted to be, do things like that. Let me tell you, that's changing. That's changing. I talked to some guys this morning, our deacons, we were talking, one guy said, I went down to the dealership, looked at one of those new Grand Wagoneers they had there. And I walked, he said, I got about 5 feet from it and I saw the sticker on the window said $92,000. And he went, I don't think I need one of those today. Folks, we talk about that. What about our housing? They built affordable housing in Westcliff just a couple of years ago. They built some affordable houses. You know what they started at? $335,000. Affordable housing. Affordable to who? To what? A young couple just now starting out is supposed to be able to afford a $300-something thousand home? All the things are just going crazy. It's going nuts. And it's going to be very difficult in the future for our young people and families to do that. The government controls so many things. One of our members has a son that lives up in the Northwest. He owned a business. His business was a gun manufacturing business and a dealership, and did some things. All of a sudden, one day he was in business. The government came in, passed a law, and said, "You're out of business. Not only are you out of business, you must cease and desist, and you can't even collect on the bills that are still out there for this." Now he's trying to move to Texas, and they won't let him move. They won't let him sell his place. He cannot get the business or his home that he lives in sold because they are putting restrictions on it, because they know what he does for a living. Things are changing, folks. Things are changing, no doubt. Jesus used a parable of the mustard seed to illustrate this law. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, he says this. He put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." One little small mustard seed. Some of you may have seen them. They're very tiny, like the head of a pin, about that size. But when it's planted in the ground, it grows, becomes a tree, big enough for birds to come and live in. That's amazing to think that little bitty mustard seed can grow into something that big. But whatever you do, tiny, small, insignificant today, can grow if you trust God, live for Him, and allow it to grow and be used by Him. Do you think that a farmer or a horticulturist or a guy who owns an orchard would have planted that seed thinking, "It's not going to grow"? No, he had faith when he put it in the ground. And we must have faith today as we plant goodness into the life of others and the life of families. Whatever we do, we give a little bit to the pregnancy care center. And we go, what difference does that make? Let me tell you what, if it saves one baby, it makes a lot of difference. It makes for that life. It saves that life. Maybe that girl, young girl's coming in there. She's distraught. She doesn't know what to do. She's pregnant. She doesn't have a husband. She doesn't know, what do I do? Maybe abortion. And she goes in and they say, "Can we take you over here and give you a free sonogram?" And we give at our pregnancy care center, there's a sonogram machine. We have a registered nurse there. They go in, do a sonogram. When they see that little tiny life moving around, it changes their heart. It changes their life. And you have a part of that. Through the offerings to this church and through the giving to those baby bottles, you have a part of that. It makes a difference. It makes a difference in doing that. There was a man one day who said he died, went to heaven, had a dream, and he went up to God and he said, "God, why haven't you sent someone to cure cancer? Why haven't you sent someone to cure this horrible thing that's out there?" And he said, "I did. And they were murdered in the tomb, in the womb." Maybe God has sent someone. But in our nation, millions and millions have been murdered in the name of convenience in doing that. One small act of kindness may reap a great act of kindness. And one small hand to help may reap many other hands to help. In Luke 6:38, it says this, "Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over. It will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Amen. Amen. Spiritually speaking, it's time to sow righteousness for a future harvest. In Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it says this, "Sow for yourself righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness and you have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your own mighty men." Does that not sound like America? Folks were reaping some benefits of some deceit and lies. and turning away from God and a mistrust of God. But he says to Hosea, sow righteousness, reap mercy, break up your fallow ground, time to seek the Lord. And I think we're seeing some of those things happen, praise God. We're seeing a swinging of the pendulum back, and God is moving in so many areas, in so many ways. College campuses are having revivals. Youth camps are having revivals. California is having a revival. Praise God, some things are happening. Even in the midst of hardship and heartache, if we sow good, we will reap God's best, for sure. In Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6, it says this, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I always wondered what that was when I was a kid. We'd sing that song, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. And I was like, I thought he meant sheep. I was like, we're going to bring a bunch of sheep to church? You know, well, who wants a bunch of sheep? The sheaves were sheaves of wheat. When you took the sheep and the wheat and you put it together, it became a sheaf of wheat and meant that a harvest was coming. God says here, if we sow in tears, when's the last time you sowed in tears? When's the last time you wept over your grandkids? When's the last time you wept over our nation? When's the last time you wept over the abortion issue or wept over children that are being sold into sexual slavery? That we weep over those things. And he said, we will come rejoicing one of these days if we sow in tears in doing that, for sure. Most of David's life was sowing good, not evil. David planted seeds of repentance in Psalm 51. He came before the Lord and he said, O Lord, search my heart. See if there's any wicked way within me. And lead me in the way everlasting. And he said that would happen. And he sowed righteousness. And because of that, the nation of Israel was blessed because of that. We need people in this country. We need you sowing righteousness. Sowing good. Sowing good for sure. Now, there's also the negative reaping of more. Now, the negative reaping of more is... it would be great to think if only we sowed good things would happen. But the problem is there's a lot of bad things happen. Even the farmer knows if he plants bad seed, he will get an inferior crop at harvest time. And sometimes he gets lots of the inferior crop. Sometimes we hear the little phrase, sometimes you're going to get more than you bargained for. Ever heard that? Sometimes we sow bad things. There was a farmer that lived out on a farm, and he always had the best corn anywhere for miles around. I mean, some amazing corn, and people would come for miles just to pick his corn. And so he would meet down at the farmer's market, and he would meet down at the gym with all the other guys, and he was giving away corn seed one year. And they go, why would you give away your corn seed if you have the best? Why do you want everyone else to have the best? And he said, let me tell you what. He said, I don't want the bees to go to those bad fields and pollinate my good corn with bad. So I spread that out so that the bees will pollinate my corn with the better corn, and I will have better corn every year. Sometimes we keep it to ourselves, but we need to sow good stuff. Because if we sow good stuff, we will get a good crop in doing that. The truth of God's word. The Bible warns us of inferior seeds that we tend to plant. In Jeremiah 4:3, it says, for thus said the Lord, the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. It happens there. When we have sown among the thorns, we will reap so much more than thorns. He says in Hosea 8:7, they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. The stalk has no bud. It shall never produce a meal. If it should produce, aliens will swallow it up. We sow the wind, we reap the whirlwind, the same kind, but not more, bigger, and stronger. We have to be very careful what we do today, because it's going to affect tomorrow. It's going to affect the future. We're going to reap in a different season than we sow. And we're going to reap more than what we sow. Now, it speaks of human solutions and strategies to handle life. The like of Jacob, if some of you remember Jacob, who later became Israel, illustrates for us in the fourth law. As a result of sowing the wind, Jacob, the supplanter, the deceiver, reaped the whirlwind of trouble and heartache. Rebekah schemed with her second-born son, Jacob, to deceive his father. She said, listen, I want you to go in to your father. We're going to trick him. He can't see very well, much more, and we want you to go steal the family blessing. So they fixed him up. He went in. She schemed with him, and he tricked his own father. And he thought, man, that's pretty cool. I got the family blessing. I'm doing great. Everything is good in my life. But here's what happened. Jacob was forced to flee because Esau had that after his father's death said, I will kill you when my father dies. And so he had to flee. He had to run away. Rebekah sent Jacob away what she thought would only be a few days. But she never saw Jacob again. She died before he returned 20 years later doing that. Jacob had schemed and deceived to get the blessing, and later he would receive in kind and even more from Laban, his future father. Jacob worked 7 years to receive his wife so that he could marry Rachel, and he was tricked by Laban into marrying her sister. You see, when we sow deceit, what happens? It came back, and he was deceived. I can imagine as he was sitting around thinking about it going, boy, why is this happening to me? And then all of a sudden he thought, you know, I've been a deceiver all my life. Why should I not be deceived also? And he was. Jacob used the skin of a kid goat to deceive his father Isaac. In his old age, he was deceived by his sons with the goat skin coat of Joseph, wore into believing his son was dead. Again and again, he sowed something, he received something. He sowed something, he received something. Again and again and again. Proverbs 22:8 says this, he who sows in iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail in doing that, for sure. We sow the wind, we reap the whirlwind. We always reap more than what we sow. There was a guy named Desert Pete. And Desert Pete had sunk a well out in the middle of the desert. He'd hooked up an old water pump to it, but realizing it would be out in the heat all day, the leather that was on the well would dry out. So he put a jug of water under a rock nearby. He tied a small can to the handle, and in the can he placed a note. The note said, you got to prime the pump. You must have faith and believe. You got to give of yourself, therefore you'll be worthy to receive. The note told the reader where to find the jug of water, but it cautioned, don't go drinking the water first, but give it up. Commit it to priming the pump. Pour it in, then pump like mad, and you will quench your thirst. Then also follow the instructions. Fill up the jug, put the note back for the next guy. Don't drink the water first. Don't drink the water first. If you do, there won't be enough to prime the pump. But if you do, there'll be plenty for everyone. The story of reaping. Folks, sometimes we got to give, prime the pump, so that the future generation, our family, our kids, the next people that are a part of this church, the future of our nation will be taken care of if we don't just consume it upon ourselves. It's real easy. It's hard. Because if we get so much into what we want and what we have, we can't see what God's going to do. You can't outgive God. But when you give, God's going to give and He's going to bless from future and future and future generations. You may never even see it. You may never see it. You know, one of the old Chinese proverbs is one of the definitions of a vision is to plant a tree under which you'll never get to sit in the shade of. You know, you go, man, why would I do that if I don't get to sit in the shade? I don't get to enjoy. You do it for the next generation. Someone did it for us. We got to do it for the next ones. That's what this law says, that we have to give so that in the future it will be blessed and move. When we reap always more than we sow, both good and bad. Let us go about doing good so that it will multiply and multiply, and we will see God do a mighty work in our church, in this community, in our nation, in our state, around the world. And you go, how can I affect the world? I don't know, but you can. Just a little bit here and a little bit there. One seed made a tree, and one seed grew the tree that had multiple apples, that had multiple seeds, and those multiple seeds can be planted and can grow. And no telling how many thousands and thousands and thousands of apples grew from that one seed. What seed are you planting today? What seed are you planting into someone's life, in your family, in your community, in your church, so that God can do a mighty, mighty work? Let's pray. Father, we pray, as we follow this law that says we're going to get more, not for us, but Lord, we're going to get more for the future of our world, so that this world will be blessed until the day that you come back. And Lord, that people will hear the gospel message and give their life to you. We thank you for that. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for providing for us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you multiply what we do for your glory and your kingdom. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.